Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. In light of the incredibly tragic events of Motzei Shabbos at the Kever HaRashbi in Meron, I thought that it would be worth saying a few words. So much has already been said, but this is definitely something that is shaken up all of Klal Yisrael, and therefore I don't know if adding would be subtracting, if it's not worth maybe being ma'orer more, and the more we get from it the better. I know a tzaddik who has a seder every day, he has a seder, think about the Holocaust. You know, for many people, we sort of have already processed the Holocaust, we've digested it, but the truth is, in absolute reality, as far as God's concerned, it's happening right now. For Hashem, Avra, Hova, and Asi, they're all the same. And just because we've come to terms with it on a certain level, and we can live with it, and we don't walk around all day in complete shock about what happened, that's just because of our psychological mechanism, this blessing that God gave us, that we're just used to it. So, okay, so we have 6 million people were tortured and then gassed, killed, shot, starved in the most inhumane, barbaric ways. And unfortunately, for better or for worse, it's also for better. This way we can move on with our lives, we can live. But it doesn't shock us every single moment of every single day how such a thing could happen. And Yom HaShoah, people talk about it on Tisha B'Av, maybe you watch a movie, people remember their Bubby, or their Zaidi, or someone in the family who they knew who went through the horrors of the war and what they told. But on a day-to-day basis, for many of us living in this unbelievably blessed generation where we have so much freedom and so much comfort physically and spiritually, we are able to deal with the Holocaust. But this tzaddik doesn't want to forget it because it was just too cataclysmic an event to just let it go and say, okay, it happened, let's just move on and forget about it. That was the mahalach, that was the approach of the Jewish people after the war. And I understand it completely. They just wanted to move on with their lives. They emigrated to the United States, to Canada, to Israel. And it was barely spoken about. Many people grew up in homes where their parents went through the war and never said a word about it. And it's only the last few years, last 10, 20, 30 years, not so many, that people started talking about it again. And the survivors, I know one lady, a survivor today, she's in her late 80s. She didn't speak about it for many, many years. Now she goes all over the place talking about it. Baruch Hashem, she's still filled with energy. And but in the 50s and 60s and 70s, even the 80s, it wasn't spoken about so much. And then already they started with March of the Living and interviewing and Spielberg and memorializing and videoing and all the people who had experiences, and so many books have been written. So now it's more and come to the fore of our consciousness, but still, on a day-to-day basis, we dealt with it. And then what happened in Merkaz Harav also was a shocker. It was about 11 or so years ago. At the time, it was just a huge, you know, zazua. A man runs into a yeshiva, starts shooting, kills 8 tzaddikim, pure people. One of them was my upstairs neighbor, Yochai Lifshitz, Shem Yinkom Dama. I still remember his family sitting shiva on the roof of our building at Or HaChaim Chamesh, Barov HaYehudi, at Sofela Har HaBayit. And you go on my roof, you could see Harabayas, and thousands of people came streaming all day, every day for a week. And they wrote a book and made videos. And you move on. You have to move on. And then something else happens. And then you get shocked, and after a while you move on. Which you have to move on. On the other hand, if there's some hisorus ruchnis that you can get, then you have to hold on to it. We have to hold on in a certain level. We have to hold on to the Holocaust. We have to hold on to Merkaz Harav. We have to hold on to the athletes who were killed in Munich in the early 1970s in the Olympics. I think it was the 11 Israeli athletes. We have to hold on to 9/11. All of the Karbanos, Jewish and non-Jewish, who were killed because, as the terrorists said, because of Israel. They just wanted to get back at Israel. All Piranus that comes to the world is Bishvil Yisrael, Chazal tell us. So we have to remember that. You can't forget 9/11. You can't say, no, we're going to build a bigger building, and we're going to, as Rav Moshe Shapiro said after it happened, he said, they're going to say, we're going to build a bigger building and move on. That's exactly what they did. They said, we're going to build a bigger building, which they didn't. And Shomor Kochi Votzim Yadi. But we can't forget. We can't forget. We can't forget Stalin. All of this suffering that he brought upon our people. And we can't forget Bechlau, Pol Pot, and just all of the despotic leaders and all of the evil that's been perpetrated in history. Can't forget. That's the Jewish people. We're remembering people. People of memory. We have so many mitzvahs to remember. We have printed in our Siddurim every day things to remember. So we have to always keep it in our memory, not to forget. And not just to remember what happened, but to grow from it, because ultimately that's why we're here. So there's so much to say. Obviously I'm not going to say everything, but maybe to share a few thoughts. So the first thing, of course, is that it's very important that everybody should feel. Everybody should feel the pain. It says, "Kol amori d'mos al adam kosher akadosh baruch hu sof meinicha v'beis genozov." We're in Shabbos 105b, Paskin the Rambam. That if you cry for an adam kosher, Kadosh Baruch Hu counts your tears and puts it in his storage house. "Kol amisatzol v'espei the roy lekovro b'chayiv." Somebody who's lazy in the hesped, it's fitting to bury him alive. And these were anashim ksheirim, people who went to Meiron because they wanted it to be mesorah and ruchnias. They didn't go there because there was good food. They went there because they wanted to connect to Rashbi, to connect to Sisrei Torah, to connect to Kedusha. Today we have the opportunity, because of modern technology, to watch some of the funerals and to shed a lot of tears. It's not hard to cry at these. It's very hard not to cry. A person needs to have be very, very strong not to cry. To cry is natural, and therefore it's important to cry. It's important to watch the funeral. It's important to feel the pain. It's important to give any nechama. And what nechama can you taka give? I read about a great Rosh Yeshiva, Shmuel Birnbaum, the Mira Rosh Yeshiva, who lost his son. And he was unconsolable. Inconsolable, would be the correct word. And people would come in and they would try to give him a nechama. And he wasn't faking it. A lot of times, you know, for social mores, we fake it. We act polite, but that's not really what we're thinking. We're thinking something very different than what we're saying. But he was an emissary yid, Reb Shmuel Birnbaum, Zechet Tzadik Livracha. And when people try to give him the chametz, it's okay, it's good for this reason, it's good for... He kept slugging them up. And I think it was Reb Baruch Moltchi Ezrachi, the great Rosh Yeshiva, Mizikne Gedolei Rosh Yeshiva Shel Doreinu, the Rosh Yeshiva Ateres Yisrael, author of the Birkas Mordechai, is a half-lev of Philadelphia Sefer, set of Svar, and we have many shiurim that we lifted with permission, I mean with attribution from the in our shiurim. from Rav Mizrachi. Namish is such a sharp thinker. Such deep hagdaras he has, definitions and interpretations. So he tried to give some sort of nechama, and Rav Shmuel slugged him up. And then he said, "Now I understand pshat. Hamakom yinachem eschem b'soch shar velet zion b'Yerushalayim. That you try to give nechama, who can give nechama? Any nechama you give, you can slug the person up, you can refute him, you could say, no, it's not true. Oh, it's really good, it's good for this reason, it's good for that reason. Yeah, he's in Olam Haba now, he's in Gan Eden, he's with the Tzadikim, he's learning Torah with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Might all be true, but that's not, it's not a nechama." Rabbi Shmuel wasn't bothered by the fact that his son is in a worse place. That wasn't bothering Rabbi Shmuel. Was bothered by the fact that he misses his son. I believe it was Rabbi Shmuel. I saw this quoted. There's a beautiful sefer, the Badei Nechama of Rabbi Scheinerman from Flatbush. So he has a whole sefer, hundreds and hundreds of pages of Inyanei Nechama. I recommend learning it. Rabbi Scheinerman has very nice svarim, the Parsha, Miguel's Esther. Malakit from a lot of different sources, and Yanni Musar and Avodas Hashem. It's great. So Hamakom Yenachem Eschem, only the Makom can give you Nechama. All the people, you can try to give them Nechama, and you can just refute this. No, that doesn't console me. And that doesn't console me. The only one who can give you true consolation is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hamakom Yenachem Eschem. And that Rav Shmuel liked. That Rav Shmuel said, that I agree with. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give you Nechama. Remember, I saw many years ago in the Sefer of Rav Chaim Yaakov Goldwich, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the Karen B'Yavne or Rosh Yeshiva. They say the Mir Rosh Yeshiva, the Panav Rosh Yeshiva. They call him the Karen B'Yavne or Rosh Yeshiva. So he says, what's Pshat? I think maybe he says the name of the Sfasemis. Kiyatu Ubala, but I saw it in his Sefer, so I'm quoting it in his name. Kiyatu Ubala Yeshua Subala Nechamas. If I'm mistaken, the Sfasemis is in Vayigash. So my memory just told me. Kiyatu Bala Yeshua Subala Nechamas, we say in benching. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Bala Nechamas, because only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give Nechama. Anybody else, whatever they try to say, you can find the reason why it's not a Nechama. You can argue with them. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give you a true Nechama, because he knows Be'emes, why he did it, and that it really was good, and he can show you how it was good, how it was perfect, and how it was the absolute best thing that could ever happen to you. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do that. Nobody else can do that. You can go to the person's house, and you can try to be Menachem, you can cry with the person, you can try to find a silver lining in the dark clouds, you can do whatever you can try to do, and you should try as much as you can, obviously, to console the person. But ultimately, to show that kol ma da'ovid rachman letov avid, to really fully comprehend why it's for the best, that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do. Kiyata hu bala Yeshua, su bala nechamas. You have bailus on the nechama, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're the only one who can give true nechama. So, we have to remember to cry and to feel the pain. And to know ultimately that to truly find nechama, to truly bring consolation, that only the Rabbanu Shalom can do. And we shouldn't even try. We should try not to say stupid things. That already, someone, his wife died, and afterwards he was just in wonderment, hispilus, about just the dumb things people were saying. The people mean well, don't get me wrong. People mean well, but a person has to be careful not to say the wrong thing. So, but people, the Pasha, don't know what to say. I don't know if you've ever had that experience. I'm guessing you have. I've had it many times. What are you supposed to say? What can you say that they haven't already thought of, they haven't already heard, and that it's a good thing to say? One of the great stories of Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz is when he was Menachem Avil, he would just go and cry and cry and cry and then leave. And then the person felt... Nesiyah ba'olim chaver, like Rav Chaim says, when you have a heavy burden and you're carrying it by yourself, it's too much to bear sometimes. When someone else is carrying it with you, it's lighter. So just that people know that others are with them, it's very, very powerful. So to cry and to feel the pain, to know that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is truly the Baal Mechamas, and therefore that absolves us from the obligation of really of making all the pain go away. We're never going to make the pain go away. And the person's supposed to have pain. And that's part of the process. And Chazal didn't deny that. Even though Chazal say, of course, that you have to limit your Avelus. Shloshi Yamim Lebechi, Yeshiva Yamim Lavelus. First 3 days, then it gets lighter than the seven till seven, and then it gets lighter till 30, and then it gets lighter a year, and then you move on. After that, not to forget completely, but you can't live your life with inertia because of all the suffering. A person's really, if he lived history, just think of all the Kazakhs and all of the horrible, horrible stories throughout Jewish history and throughout world history. Think of Vietnam. Incredibly crazy stories. All the suffering people went through. So you can't live in the past like that, and that'll paralyze a person. So Chazal didn't want that. And yet Chazal understood that even though we believe it's all for the best, there's still Avelus. There's still Avelus. And there's supposed to be Avelus, and it's natural and it's normal. And not to be Misabel is unnatural and abnormal. So a person has to be and feel the pain. And throughout history, there have been a lot of Jews who just suppressed their emotions. The suffering they went through was too difficult to bear, so they just suppressed it. But that's not a healthy way to live. It comes out in other ways. It doesn't come out this way, it comes out that way, it comes out. It's not good for you, it's not good for the people around you. So it's good to deal with it in a healthy way. Today, Baruch Hashem, we have mental health teams and psychologists and social workers and so many different types of people who are there to help with the pain, sometimes medication. But the pain has to be acknowledged and dealt with in a healthy way. There's been a lot of research done on grieving and mourning. And Chazal acknowledged that and told us to grieve and told us to mourn. Even though they also told us that Chayav Adam Levarech Al Ha'Ra Kashem Shem Levarech Al Ha'Tova. And the Gemara says you have to do it b'simcha. Like the story of the Maran Arav Kukzatzal's Shver. The Bala Deretz. Eliyahu Dabar Rabinowitz Tumim. Who was living in the old city, I think in Rehov Miskav Ladach. Barova Yehudi. And he was always a punctual person. But when it was his daughter's funeral, he came late, like 2 hours late. And they asked him what happened. He said, Chazal say that you have to bless God for the bad just like you bless him for the good. The nafkamina is you have to do it b'simcha. I worked on myself for 2 hours that I'd be able to say Baruch Dayin Emes b'simcha. On the other hand, there's room for crying and there's room for sadness. And we know from Gedolei, Gedolei, Gedolei Yisrael that they were very sad, and that's the right thing to be. There's not only nothing wrong with it, there's everything right with it. And Klal Yisrael as a people, as a unit, when even if we didn't know the people who suffered, even though everybody, it's not Shaykh, every religious Jew either knew the person, at least one person who was Nifter, or knew somebody who knew that person. There are too few of us that, you meet a Jew and you start talking with him. 2 minutes, you've already made 9 connections. Oh, you know, this person, oh, this is my roommate, oh, my sister's married to his brother-in-law's aunt's uncle's brother's cousin's sister. So, too few of us. We all know each other and we're all connected, and that's the beauty. Two goyim don't get together, you know. One goy from Kentucky and, one goy from San Francisco, and do you know this person? You know this person? They don't even know, they don't have one person in common. But we always have at least 1,000. So definitely to feel the pain and to know that we don't have the answers, to know that we'll never have the answers in this world as the world is now, in the world of darkness, and the future will have answers. And to remember Yisod Gadol, and this is from the words of Maran Arav Zatzal. Very, very powerful. After all that I've said, and it's all true, and therefore it was important that I was makdim, that it's all true, death is painful and death is real, and it's indescribable, the suffering of the people who are close to the niftarim are undergoing. אבל צריכים לזכור מה שמרן הרב כותב באורות הקודש חלק ב' בעמוד שין יוד א', אומר הרב, המוות הוא חיזיון שו, תומתו היא שקרו. Death is a false optical illusion. Its tuma is its falsehood. Rav Kook is mechadish here, a chidush gadol me'od. This week we read Parshas Emor. It was Mamish Moitzei Shabbos Parshas Emor, which talks about the Isser of Kohanim to be metame, lemeis, except for their seven relatives. But otherwise, Kohanim are not allowed to become tame to the meis. What's the tumah of Misa? Says the Rav, the tumah of Misa is the sheker. It's the sheker, because death is falsehood. It's not real. What does it mean it's not real? It's real for us as we experience it. But in absolute reality, it is not as we perceive it. That's the sheker. The sheker is our misperception. Ma shebnei adam korim mavet, harei hu rak tigboret hachayim v'ta'atzumotam. What people call death is the empowering of life and its strengthening. In other words, the person isn't gone. We all have this guf. Guf comes from the magufa, which is a covering, a utensil, and it just contains our neshama. Neshama is forever. So no, the person is not gone. The person is gone from our reality. But very much alive. Very much alive. Much more alive than we are. We're not so alive. We're tired. We drink coffee. We eat chocolate. We go to sleep every night. We have this problem. This person has a digestive issue. And this person has allergies. And this person has skin problems. And this, everybody has something. Everybody has something. Because we're not fully alive. Mali katle kule, mali katle palga. There's an Indian, when you give a person a chabal, it's like partial death. Sickness is partial death. So we just have this body that's partially alive, and, you know, maybe that comes along with it. And you see, as the body ages, it doesn't get better with age. It's not like good wine. It gets much worse with age. Umitoch ha-shkia te'omit be-katnut, asher yetzer lev ha-adam shkia oto ba, הרי הוא מצייר את תגבורת החיים הזאת בצורה מדהיבה וחשוכה שהוא קוראה מוות. And because of this immense immersion in smallness that the yetzer of the heart of a person is immersed in, he illustrates this empowering of life in a very sad, dreary, depressing dark way, and he calls it mavis, calls it death. Mitalim hem kohanim bikdushatam. The Rav was a Kohen. Kohanim are elevated in their sanctity. Mehakshava shikrit zo. From this false perception. Sheefshar limalet mimena, that we can't escape from it. As long as we live in this false world, it looks really bad, death. It looks so bad. You see that body under the talus they put in the ground in Eretz Yisrael. There's no coffin, no coffins. Just body straight into the ground. Oh, nothing fancy, not like the Goyim, you know. They put the dead person in the coffin and they have this wake and everybody comes and it says, Seischem L'Shalom, and they put makeup on him and he looks good and she looks great. Oh, Patricia, you look better. You haven't looked this good in years. She's dead. But by us, no. You see that we don't make pretty up the dead person. Just there under the talus, wrapped up in the talus, and into the ground. That's the way it is. Shiyavshali maleitim ena kozman shemem shala kozvi kokach sholeit baolam. Kim behavarat ha'inayim me'amachazeh meviyit rishmei ha'ataya lalu ela nefesh. So we have this false perception in this world, and Kohanim are elevated. And therefore Kohanim are not allowed to come near death. Al kol nafshot met lo yavo l'nefesh lo yitama be'amav. Wow. Motzi Shabbos Parashas Emor. We had this terrible event. And it's an emor that we learn, Val kol nafshot met lo yavo. Since it looks, death looks so real, and it looks so horrible, the Kohen's not allowed to come into contact with it. Because ultimately, in absolute reality, it's Sheker. Because this person is more alive than this person has ever been. Because death is tigboret ha'chayim v'ta'atzumotam. It's the enhancement of life, the empowerment of life. It's the real life. And the kedusha of the Kohanim is not to be involved in this sheker of, oh, it's so terrible. So he's dead. Kohanim don't go near that. They don't go there. So again, there's Avelus, and Avelus is Adin, and it's acceptable, and it's not only acceptable, it's a chiyuv, and the person has to feel that sadness, not like in the non-Jewish world, since I hear these ball players, last night his mom died and he's playing today in the ball game. And they don't have a concept called Shiva. To process it, to internalize it, and to think about it, and to deal with it, they just move on. Whenever they can get back to work, they get back to work. Maybe take a day off, 2 days off, whatever each person needs. It's individual. There's no nicham aveilum. But we have a whole process to help us in the most healthy way get through it. But ultimately, and that really is where I wanted to bring this, ultimately, it has to make us better people. You learn from the Nifter, like the Rosh Hashivas that Tzal writes in the letter, the Igros Pachad Yitzmar and the Baal Pachad Yitzchok, that we have an expression, Shavak Chayim L'chol Chai, which in Pashtus means he left life for all the living. He left this world and now we're in the land of the living. He says, no. He left his Chiyus for us. Now we can take it. We can take his Chiyus. What he brought to the world, so we learn the lessons, and there's so many lessons to learn. Just one lesson, Stam, is that's this world. This world, there are a lot of unexpecteds. And even this night of tremendous simcha and joy of Lag BaOmer and celebration, and it ended up to be such a tragedy. That's the lemaisa, that's Olam Hazeh. That's the sadness of Olam Hazeh. Not to be too connected to Olam Hazeh, because it's very, very temporary for all of us. For all of us, very temporary. And to know that it goes and it passes by, and to appreciate what we have, it's another lesson. As long as we have it. Stephen Hawking was a very jolly person. And he explained why. He said even though he was in a wheelchair, he was terribly disabled throughout his life. And he said, I just, for me, everything is a bonus. I'm a happy person because everything I have. And he was Dafkan Apikoros. He didn't believe in anything. And he believed in everything except for Hashem. If you don't believe in God, you believe in everything. Anything you can hold on to. So he said, I appreciate it. That's a good lesson to learn. Just to appreciate everything we have as long as we have it. It's all a bonus because this world is a world of Yisurim. It's a world of Nisyonos. So if we learn the lessons from the Nifter. That the Nifter left us, and from the passing of the Nifter, everybody has a different way of dealing with it and thinking about it, to learn from the way other people think about it, and come up with our own thoughts and our own ideas and our own feelings, because everybody processes things differently. But to know that ultimately the person's still alive in a very, very real way and forever. And not to let it get to us. Not to let it get to us that it takes away our Simchas Chaim. That's ultimately the point that I wanted to get to. And that is that in Yiddishkeit, we believe that man and woman can regulate their emotions. We're not going to allow the events of our lives to determine whether or not we're going to be happy. Most people, when they're doing well, when they're happy, they're healthy, their stocks are booming, everything's great, they're in Orlando for Pesach, they're at the golf course, they're feeling good, their stomach is full, everything's geschmack. They're happy. Stock market is down, they just got laid off from their job, the kids are home and they're all kvetchy, and they're fighting with his wife. Nah, he's in a bad mood. Torah says, no, we want you to be in control of your emotions, not your emotions in control of you. And that means that a Jew is commanded to be b'simcha tamid. It says that ein ruach hakodesh shora nevuah shora mitoch simcha. So when Yirmiyahu was writing Eicha, he was b'simcha. Otherwise, you can't write a book for ruach hakodesh. He's writing Eicha yashva b'dad yira basim. He had to be b'simcha. So you can be sad and b'simcha at the same time. We have that in life sometimes. We're sad, we're b'simcha. Person's relative dies and he gets a Yerusha of $20 million. He's sad and he's besimcha, especially if he was $10 million in debt. He paid up his $10 million and now he has $10 million. He's ahead of the game again. Lo aleinu, we shouldn't need to live off Yerushas. We should have our own money and it should be in a good way and in a happy way, and we shouldn't have debt. But it's okay to be sad, but to be happy, to never lose that happiness. Even on Tisha B'Av, we say Mizmor L'Soda Riel Hashem Kol Haaretz Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha. Never to stop being besimcha. Rav Yehuda Gershuni, the great Gaon. Rav Yil Grodner, they used to call him. I guess he was from Grodner. So he was a Talmud by Rav Baruch Ber. So he writes in his Sefer that Rav Baruch Ber is wondering, what's this whole tumult about Musar? Musar, I was talking about Musar. There was a big fight. You should have Musar in Yeshiva, not a Musar in Yeshiva. So he borrowed a copy of Shari Tshuva. He wanted to see what this Musar is all about. Shari Tshuva Rabbeinu Yonah, very, very stark Musar Sefer. So, takes the Sefer, learns it through the night, and I've stayed up all the night, most of the night, but he learned through the Sefer, and the next day gave it back. He says, no Musar in our yeshiva. He said, why? He said, listen, it depressed me. If you're depressed, you can't learn. So I don't want anything that's going to stop us from learning. And that's really Yisod Gadol for life. Not that you shouldn't learn Musar, and I don't think that's the lesson to take from the story, but that you shouldn't do anything that makes you depressed, that takes away your cheshek to learn, and it takes away your cheshek to daven, and it takes away your cheshek to do chesed, because happier people are better people. Happier people are kinder people. Happier people are more generous people. Baduk umenuse. Go to jails, see how many happy terrorists you find. See how many happy serial killers you find. Person's chayav to be happy. Simcha tamid, b'chol ha-matzavim. And it's hard. It's an avoda. The Rambam writes in Uchas Lulav, it's avoda gedoli. But we're in this world to serve God. We're in this world to improve ourselves. We're in this world to perfect the world, to be Hashem's partner. You can't do that if you're miserable. So if it's not helping you fulfill your task, then you're not allowed to be in such a state of an emotional state of being. And we can control that. To a certain extent, we have control. I'm talking about extreme cases. There's some people who don't. They need help. But most of us can control our moods, can regulate our emotions. It's livkos veis lirkos. Go to a funeral, you cry. It's good. Go to a chasana, you dance. You start dancing at a levaya. It's lo pasnish. It's lo matim. Go to a sheva brachos, and you start giving this whole speech there, and you get depressing everybody. Okay, we know the Gemara. It says something at the wedding. It says, Oylan de misnin, voylan de misnin. So, there's a beautiful shtickle about that in the Einaya. But we're not going to get into it. We already have a shir on that. We gave it many years ago. But the point is that a person's chayav to be besimcha, and it's chayav to be simcha b'chol ha-matzavim. And it's not a lack of sensitivity if, despite what happened, that you move on. Just like we know that there was a Holocaust and 6 million people were brutally murdered in the most macabre ways, grotesque ways, and cruel, and inhumane ways by these beasts. We know there are pogroms, and we know that the Goyim, the Kazakhs, used to run around raping women, torturing, and pillaging, and horrible, horrible things. We move on. We move on, and we move on b'simcha. B'simcha. That's an avoda. An avoda. We know in the olden days, people would have, women would have 9 children, and 6 of them would die. Rabbi Yochanan den Grama da Siroi Beer, he lost 10 children, lost 10 sons. The Medrash, it's Mashmeh, lost daughters also. Chdush Arim, father of the Gera dynasty, lost all 13 children in his lifetime. 13 children. One of his sons made it long enough for Avraham Mordechai that he had the Sfasemis. The Sfasemis ultimately took over for his grandfather. Can you imagine? 13 children. And that's this world. This world, the world of Nisyonos. And nobody should expect a cakewalk. That's an important lesson to learn. But that we're chayiv to be besimcha. And we have to know ourselves and know what we can do to make ourselves besimcha. And you're not, you shouldn't feel guilty. So if you feel guilty, oh, how can I be besimcha? Look at how much they're suffering. No. You're not helping them by being, you're sitting at home and you're miserable. And you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Because of what happened, you're not helping them. Not helping. You're helping them by being there for them. If you can help them in any way, adarabu. But to continue with, we all have to continue with our avoda and our avoda b'simcha and our tefillah b'simcha and our avas Hashem. And avas Hashem, we don't stop loving God because of this, because of what He did, what He allowed to happen, however you want to phrase it. We know kelam unav ein avod tzadik v'yashahu. That's another lesson to learn. Mischazek and Armuna. And like the Rambam that everybody quotes, the Rambam in Hilchos Tainis, not to say it's a mikre, and it's a derech achzorius, achzor, it's a strange way, it's foreign. No. It's the Mishor of the Tshuva. And life is short. To take advantage of every second, you never know when it's going to end. And that it's Moros and Moror Maisim, that's, we wouldn't have to talk about all the things in Klal Yisrael that need fixing. I don't want to be mekatrek, but we all know it's not a secret that we're not a perfect people yet. We have our issues. It's a vada to bring us to tshuva. But the yesod ha-yesodos, is simcha. You can't serve Hashem if you're not b'simcha. And if you are b'simcha, you serve Hashem a lot better. A lot better. You walk around smiling, especially. I watched the levaya of one of the niftarim. Donnie Morris, very, very powerful. Levaya, probably never forget. And they emphasize, they must be them, how he's always smiling, being the Samech people. Well, how could he smile? How could he smile after Klal Yisrael has had so many tzaras? There have been over 20,000 soldiers and who've been killed and people in terrorist attacks since the birth of the state. Over 20,000. So all the wars we had, the Yom Kippur War and the Lebanon War and the Six-Day War, and this war, and the Independence War, and the Sinai, and the terrorist attack here, and the terrorist attack there, and we all know people, or know people who know people who lost children in the Israeli army, and here and there. How can we be happy? How can we be happy? Was he doing anything wrong by being smiley, by being friendly? No. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. Despite everything that's happened in history, in Jewish history b'frat, and world history b'chlal, the avodah is to be besimcha. And is there a place in our heart that we're supposed to feel tzar, atzvus? Of course. We're not supposed to be insensitive to the suffering of others. We're not supposed to say, shalom alai nafshi. Yep, things are good. Baruch Hashem, I didn't lose any relatives. I'm cool, Baruch Hashem. It's not what we're supposed to say. We're supposed to know other people are suffering and to feel the pain, to feel the tzar shechina, like the Sfarim talk about, that the shechina also has tzar. When things like this happen, whatever that means. And yet, to paraphrase the Chovas HaLevavos, v'tzalasu al panav, to be a shmeichel dikar, to be b'simcha, and to learn b'simcha, and to learn with the gishmak, that think it's the Rav Chida who writes that the Mon Tosasim in Merubah were written the night before a pogrom. There was they said the next day the Goyim are coming and their Jewish heads are going to be rolling, literally. And they stayed up late that night and they wrote those long complex Tosasim in Merubah, in the seventh parak of Bava Kam. If you're not besimcha, you can't learn. So you're mischazik, and you learn besimcha, and you have a geschmack from your learning. And when something bad happens, you say, no, I'm not going to let this get me down. This is going to help me become a better person. And when you're a better person, you're besimcha. Simcha is miloshon tzmicha. When you feel that you're growing, you become better. That's what you all have to do. When we grow, we'll feel better. We'll feel happier. And our avod is to be happy. We're growing because we're obligated to grow. And we're growing because it brings us simcha, which is going to help us grow more and help us serve Hashem more. And some people just make everything so depressing. Oh, it's so terrible. It's so terrible. Oh, Yimei Yalanu. Remember Rabbi Isai, Eov was written, Eicho was written b'simcha. Eov also. Written b'simcha. There's no Ruach HaKodesh without simcha. And when Avraham Avinu was bringing Yitzchak to the Akedah, and the Malach appears to him, he says, Al Tishlach Yotcha Lanar. How did he have this Gilui Eloki? How did he have this revelation? This prophetic revelation of a Malach? The answer is, he was b'simcha. You can't get prophetic revelations unless you're b'simcha. Ein Shechina Shara L'mitoch Simcha. Even Avram at the Akedah. Was there also Tsar? Was Tsar also? Chazal tells he was b'tsar. That's normal. But never ever to forget the Simcha. Remember, they say a smile doesn't cost anything and it's worth gold. And when you're happy, you smile. And when you smile, you're happy. It's the cause and the effect. And I don't think we should let those dark clouds that we feel are above us overwhelm us. Make us cynical and make us down and make us depressed. And how do you dive in like that? How do you learn? How do you do chesed? Everyone knows in Camp Hask, the happiest day of the year is Tisha B'Av. Music and this, because how can you do that? The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. All the tzaras of Klal Yisrael. Remember on Tisha B'Av. The answer is because these campers need simcha. They don't need, they have their whole life is Tisha B'Av. They don't need more Tisha B'Av. They need simcha. So you give them simcha. And that's really what our world needs. Our world has enough division and enough anger, cynicism, and enough evil, more than enough. What the world needs is more ava and more achva and more shalom and more reyus and more positivity, more connection, and more goodness and more kindness, more light. And that's each and every one of our jobs. So it was a terrible tragedy, and we're never supposed to forget it. We lived it, and we experienced, we watched it, and we read about it. We saw footage, most of us. And we're not supposed to forget. Just like we're not supposed to forget about the Holocaust, and we're not supposed to forget about Tach V'Tat, 1648, 1649, where like a third of the Jewish people were decimated. We're not supposed to forget about Purim, the Hashmi, the Aragavit, it's called Yudim, the Aragavit, Zokin. And we're not supposed to forget about the Spanish Inquisition. We read about that, the horrible tortures the Jews went through. We're supposed to remember. And yet, Tamid B'Simcha. Tamid B'Simcha. And we can be B'Simcha when we remember what the Rav writes, that death is life. And we can be besimcha when we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'adav Rachmana L'Tov of it, even though we don't understand it. And we besimcha when we know that it has meaning. Not like those people, Nebuch, who walk around this world, the whole world for them is a big mistake. There was just this accidental big boom of what? Where did the molecules come from that boomed? They don't have an answer for that. But there was this big boom. And instead of normal booms, that normally when you have this big boom, then you know, that something blows up, there's chaos. Here there was absolute order, complete order in the world. Millions of laws of physics and biology and chemistry and all, from this one boom. But it was just a big mistake. And then there was a mistake how the single-celled organisms developed into multiple-celled organisms, a big mistake. And then that was a mistake, and then it was a mistake how that ultimately they became a monkey, and then ultimately that monkey became my Alta Zaidi. That was all just all a big mistake. And then mistakenly, my Alta Zaidi had a son who became a little bit smarter, and then he had a son who went to Harvard already. So for them, it's just a big mistake. And Mamela, when something bad happens, it's just blind faith. It's horrible. I mean, it's a horrible way to live. That the ganze Welt is just a big mistake, and whenever anything horrific happens, it's all in all part of the big mistake. There's no meaning, no purpose. To live a life like that, that's depressing. There, I've no answer for such a person. How should you be happy? How should you be happy? Just drink a lot of alcohol till your mind isn't working anymore. But for us, we don't need the alcohol. For us, we know that it has purpose. That's a reason for simcha. That our life has meaning. And when something terrible happens, it has meaning. And when something good happens, it has meaning. And everything has meaning. And that's a source of simcha. The Rev writes in another place, he says, why should one be besimcha? And then he gives a few possibilities and he rejects each one. And finally he says, because the metzias is samech. I mean, he says it more beautifully and more poetically than I'm saying it. But he just says, that's just the reality. The reality is the world is simcha. The essence of reality is joy. Oz v'chedva v'mekomo, strength and joy are in the place of Hashem. So we have to connect to that, and we have to enhance that, and we have to just inject positive energy wherever we go. You walk into a room with a smile and a good word for everybody, as much as we can. I'm thinking, who am I to talk? I don't give positive energy to anybody, inject anything. But maybe it's a good time to start now. It's never too late. Kolora ner dolek nitano v'taken. So I'm not talking chas v'shalom preaching and saying that I'm better. I'm doing something nobody else is doing. Adarabha. Lower than anybody who's listening is 100 times higher than me. That I can just about guarantee you. I can't guarantee 100% because I don't know everybody who's listening to me. But I'm pretty sure that you're much, much, much better than me. So I'm not chas v'shalom saying I'm better. But we can all improve. So I'm just voicing some of my thoughts and feelings. And ultimately, I think that's our avoda to come out of this. Is mizev gam mizel tanach yadecha, like it says, paraphrasing Ecclesiastes, is to hold on to both ends, to demos al adam kosher, and yet the constant simcha, despite that, the constant simcha and the joy that we're supposed to feel inside and out, and to infuse the world and other people with joy, and everybody enjoys a smile, and everybody enjoys a good word, and everybody wants to feel important and special. And valued. And we can go around making that happen. So these are just some ideas that I wanted to share upon this cataclysmic event. And of course, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Barov Rachma V'chasadav Shiyomer L'Tzarasenu Dai. Baruch Hashem, we have so many brachas in our lives also we shouldn't forget about. Ruchnius and Engashmius, but we should be Zoche Amir Tashem, like it says in the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Nun, that in this world there are two tracks. There's the Hatova Ametiv track and the Dayana Emes track, and in the next world there's only going to be the Dayana Emes, the Hatova Ametiv track. It's all going to be good, and we should be Zoche to that. Bekarov, the Pasuk everyone quotes at the end of the Hesbedim, most people, Macha Hashem Elokim Dima Me'al Kol Panim. We should be zochah to the geula shleima of simchas olam al roshenu. Meherav yameinu amen. Shalom, shalom, sweetest friends. I thank you so much for listening.